This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And we got Nick Friedel.
This is McGuire and Canseco.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bash Brothers back and forth right now. I love it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Are you McGuire or Canseco?
You know, needle in my butt sounds good right now, right? I mean,
oh, no. It's a lot of home runs, though.
It's a lot of bombs.
Stick the long ball.
A lot of bombs. Yep. A lot of bombs out here, man.
Well, speaking of that, hitting the home run, I mean, you got to talk to Joe Lacob this past week, Bonta Hill, the owner, governor of the Golden State Warriors, Joey Lightyears. What was that like?
Oh, he's feeling himself. Joe, you
I
know
mean, that's any day that ends in Y, B.
Nick knows with Joey Lightyears. So just wanted to talk to him about the All-Star break. And, you know, as Nick knows, when you get out there to business, there's always the off-the-record stuff, the on-the-record stuff. Won't really get into the off-the-record stuff, but I can tell you that the Warriors feel good right now. And it's all because of Jimmy Butler, which is remarkable. Remarkable. Now, I know they went 3-1 in Jimmy's first four games. I want to just pause the optimism for a second. I mean, truly, tonight's a big game against Sacramento. Set the tone for the next 27. But let's be realistic. His first game against Chicago, they're down 24. A Bulls team that scored 29 points in the first half the next night against Detroit. They're down 24.
The Bulls logo right now should have a tank to the side.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Bulls horns with a tank just rolling.
Honest to God. Billy Donovan, before that game, was asked by a reporter, maybe Sam Smith. He goes, does it just feel like tryouts right now with all the new players? Billy Donovan goes, yeah, it kind of is like tryouts. And then they're up 83-59 midway through the third quarter, and then Steph Curry went nuclear, all right? They allowed Kyrie to score 42. Kyrie, Clay, and a bunch of who's on the Dallas Mavericks, all right? So they beat Milwaukee without Giannis, but you control what you control, which is playing well, and they played better in that game. So I don't know, all the championship talking, but there is a lot of optimism with Joey Lightyears. There's no doubt about it. And he's beaming with pride because of the All-Star break and the way the Bay Area presented itself. I thought last weekend was great. I mean, I had low expectations for the All-Star game, and I'm sure we'll get into the actual
game
itself.
Did they jump over that low bar for the game?
No, dude. It was the low bar for everything. And you know what? It exceeded expectations. It did something to me, Cousin Nick, when I saw Oscar Robertson walk on the court. When I saw Dr. J styling the profile and walking into Kenny Smith's party. It did something to me. The legends were in town, and so it meant something. And so I thought the Bay Area as a whole just really presented itself well. Oakland, California, Oakland Arena was hopping Saturday for media day. It was like a game, Nick. You remember walking into that arena, Oracle Arena, where it's just loud there right on top of you. Felt like I was walking into a Western Conference semifinal game. It was insane out there. So the All-Star break and the whole presentation presented itself well. The games we'll talk about. I mean, there's some work to do. There's some work to do. I mean, less Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart hasn't been funny in 10 years.
The games itself was like whatever. Like you saw. That, no, that's a great point. I've never.
I mean, they actually were playing hard. Then they took a break and it was like, wait, Kevin Hart's part of this now?
First team that won had like an hour off between their next game. Like the product itself, it needs to be fixed. I thought like the effort was a little bit better, which is again, we're asking about effort and like these things. That's all we need as we see USA versus Canada yesterday in a glorified exhibition game. The effort there was palpable. Yeah. It was USA. It was Canada. Yeah. There were names. There was star power there. There were fights. There was bad blood. Now, do we go USA versus the world going forward? I'm after watching what took place in hockey yesterday, maybe you start doing that.
Four nations.
Four nations, right? Who are you going to go? You're going to go Canada, USA, Canada. Serbia. And France. Yeah. Like
maybe go. A mix of who? A mix right? bash? I don't know.
So there's that. And by the way, Bontail in studio for this whole
everybody
hour.
Else. Yeah, everybody else.
Warriors pre and post game host for NBC Sports Bay Area. Relax. You can't name a player.
Mongolia.
Fiji.
New Zealand.
VJ Singh is the only player of note ever from
the
Fiji.
Others. The others. We got the others.
Well, that was part of
and
it.
And the
right?
jerseys just say the others.
That's the Shaq phrase. And did you feel like it was weird they were doing a like eulogy basically for inside the NBA on TNT at one point?
Yeah.
Like I was like, you guys aren't going anywhere.
Put a halt.
You're
going to
be on ESPN still.
It was a lot of downtime during the games.
Signed off on that.
I don't know. I don't know. They were doing so well up until that point, and then break here, break there. What was it like? 34 actual minutes of basketball. And then I was thinking, I was like, well, we know how television works. You got to fill 3 hours. How are you going to fill 3 hours?
Well, Carter was there, producer Carter in the back, and he was actually out there. He's like, and he kept texting us during, like, with updates. He's like, is this presenting as poorly on television with this pacing as it is in person?
Oh, I forgot. By the way, Carter, not to cut you off, Spinotti, he's walking around Chase Center like he owned that place.
Well, he looked like he could suit up for the Rising Stars at that point. I didn't know half the people that were there. He could have snuck on the court.
This guy was running material all day long at Chad. I was like, you just got the job 2 weeks ago.
Holding
he's
court.
At the All-Star game.
He's holding court.
He was holding
love
court.
I
was very impressed. I was like, damn, Carter. But no, it was a lull inside the arena, and it completely killed all the juice.
The Mr. Beast shot was the funnest thing of the evening. Yeah, it was the kid that won the $100,000. Thank God he finally adjusted because I was going to go nuts if he kept pushing it right every single time, and Dame kept missing on purpose, it felt like, to give the kid an opportunity. But listen, the All-Star game, we've been talking about it all week. And as you said, the Bay Area shined and showed out, I felt like, over the week. A lot of people, Frank Isola joined us earlier in the week.
Damn, ESPN, NBA,
yeah, Frank, yes, we love him. Yeah. He's coming from New York where it's cold and it's snowing and it's sleet and it's gross. He's like, hey, it was 50 degrees and it was sunny all week, basically. He loved it. He was walking around the city. He felt the vibe. So for as much as the doom and gloom everyone wants to say about San Francisco, Gotham City, Bonte, as you like to say, Oakland, they showed out this week. And that was the positive for me. As we get ready for the Super Bowl next year and World Cup action.
There were celebrities walking around without security down Powell Street. Nothing happened. I mean, I even ran into Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley goes, young man, this city did well. And look, all the homeless stuff that we talk about, that they've been homeless in that same area for 40 years. So all of a sudden you see a news outlet start promoting, oh man, homeless. I read a kid there already. He goes, man, I felt at home. We got bums like this in Manhattan and Brooklyn. This is all good out here. I love Frisco. He goes, I love Frisco. So
I told you look like the kid Mero. Yeah, you guys look like you could be brothers. Yeah,
maybe he thought he knew me because he was talking my ear off for a second, man. I was like, man, look at all the name drops over here, Cousin Nick. Hey, look. But no, there was no talk. I didn't hear, like, you know, they have this thing called bipping, right? You heard about bipping, right, Nick? I know you know about it, Spinotti.
Absolutely.
Bipping, where you break a car window. Where they said the All-Star break was going to be the BIP Olympics. People were lining up to see what they could bet during the All-Star break. Guys were getting it. They had a full training camp for the BIP Olympics. And you know what? Nobody meddled because nobody got bipped really this weekend. Honestly.
I came in about 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, so right before the game got rolling. In all my years out here, even traveling back and forth before I lived Oakland, then in San Francisco, I've never seen the police presence that was downtown, which I'm sure kept everything in check. But that was impressive in its own way because you're not used to seeing that like anywhere. And I got down there. I was like, whoa, there are police cars everywhere. So that was a change that I noticed.
Well, yeah, they were everywhere. But I rented a couple Shasky's family members that are part of the police department. And let me tell you, Fahey, I'm going to shout him out, Fahey, because you know Shasky brings up the Faheys all the time.
Well, he brings up every single person in the history of San Francisco all the time. Exactly. We walked to go get coffee at 5 in the morning, and he's saying what's up to 3 or 4 people on the street.
I don't know
how he does it.
Well, there was 5 cops, and love them, and I'm going to put them on blast. They were straight up chilling. I was like, man, they was in a circle shooting the star. I mean, they was out there stealing money. You officers out there, you know who you are. Y'all was stealing money, man. They had the biggest break. It was like vacation
Protect and serve.
No, they did an awesome job. And the police presence was definitely felt. They were out there. They were going to let nothing happen. And Daniel Lurie, the mayor of San Francisco, did a great job as well as making rounds around. And so this sets up well for when they bring in the Super Bowl and the World Cup. This is good momentum moving forward because, you know, when the World Cup comes, you're going to need all the cops and Fahey and company. There's going to be no break time when the World Cup comes.
Oh, it's next level. It's Olympics on steroids when it's the World Cup, the biggest sport in the world when it comes here. And, you know, that's my sport, Bonte. I'm on Team USA, the Stars and Stripes. I was hurting yesterday when they lost to Team Canada. It was literally my first time ever looking at a box score for hockey. I did not know what I was looking at.
Wow.
I saw time on ice, and that's all I recognized. TOI.
They got plus minus. It's big in hockey, Dick.
Sure.
Yeah. They asked me one time in Chicago, would you rather see the Blackhawks win another Stanley Cup or find $10 on the street?
Oh, my God.
And I answered with the cash. And let's just say, fellas, that didn't go over so well.
Give me the Alexander Hamilton.
That did not go over so
well. Patrick Kane and them boys, right?
Hey, oh, yeah.
Wow. I like Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid's a boss, man. Go Connor McDavid. I was worried about Canadian fans, though. They were out there in Boston, man, and you know, things get highly political right now with U.S. and Canada, and you're out there in Boston, and you're out there singing O Canada on the streets. I hope they were safe last night. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. Well, we got the 27-game stretch, this 27-game playoff starting tonight, Bonte Hill. That's what Draymond called it, the 27-game playoff stretch. Yeah. So they got the 16 on top of that.
B, what was your favorite Draymond quote week? Because we could go in about 9 different directions.
I mean, you know, when you covered his team for so long, when Draymond says something, I'm just like, well, he says that every year. They're going to win a championship. But even Joe Lacob was, Bonte, did you hear what Draymond said today? He used to even say, because if I was said that, they would have killed me. Probably. But Draymond, that was the whole talk on Sunday. It was like, did you hear what Draymond said? Did you hear what Draymond said? And it was, you know, it was Steph's weekend. It's the house that Steph built, Chase Center. It was all about Steph. And next thing you know, by the end of the All-Star game, it was like, Draymond guaranteed a championship. Draymond said this format sucks. Then you see Oscar Robertson saying,
Draymond said the NBA is boring.
Yeah, the NBA is boring. And then Oscar Robertson's like, well, maybe he thinks it's boring because all he does is pass the staff. Nobody cares about what Draymond says.
You know what's hilarious about all that? At the end, Steph must have felt like he was right at home because he's the in charge adult in the room, the leader. And one more time, somebody asked him about the 10 things Draymond said. He's like, yeah, I heard during the game that Draymond's guaranteed another championship. So I'm sure Steph was like, well, I know what this is like. Everything's good.
Right. Everything is good.
The confidence, right?
Absolutely. The confidence. But I mean, look, there's intrigue with the final 27. I'm revved up for it. Because now, even though, you know, Draymond saying they're going to win a championship, I don't think any Warrior fan thinks that right now they're legit championship contenders. However, there is a confidence with Jimmy Butler and an optimism that when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, maybe you can make a run in this Western Conference that doesn't look as daunting as it once did. OKC is the cream of the crop. They're, what, 8.5 up on everybody?
Yeah, they're chilling.
They're chilling right now. But does anybody believe in Houston?
No.
Not long.
We just talked about this, actually.
The Rockets coming out to play. Right.
They're a year away from being, you know, they're about a year away. Yeah. They need some shooting. The Lakers, we watched them lose to the Hornets. And then they beat the Blazers last night, but they're, you know, they're going to be hit or miss. Defense, teams are hunting Luka.
What's happening in the middle, too? Mark Williams, Alex Lynn. I mean,
Alex Lynn?
No.
Come on, Sacramento gave up on Alex Lynn. We all know they need size. So you look at these teams in the Western Conference. Denver's probably, I would fear Denver because of Jokic. Jokic is a problem. And Jamal Murray looks like he's getting healthier and healthier, and he's starting to pick up his game as he always does during his time of season. But there's a lot of optimism with the Golden State Warriors. So you know what? I'm intrigued as well because from December 1st till about the Jimmy Butler trade, things were looking bleak. And the fans are starting to get a little annoyed with the lack of play or the lack of passion. And, you know, that Orlando game that they had on Monday at Chase Center a couple weeks ago.
That's when I saw you.
That may have been rock bottom. Yeah, I saw you that day. Fans were leaving in the third quarter of that game. And I was thinking to myself, something's got to change. That was the first time I thought, okay, maybe standing pat may not work around this market.
B, Spadone and I talked about that throughout the week. The atmosphere in that game, and maybe there are fans listening to us who were in Chase Center, that was with Steph. It was flatter than a pancake in there. Now, that's a regular season game before the deadline in February. In fairness, still, you have Steph, you have Draymond, you've got Banchero and Wagner, young guys that are starting to come into their own. I saw you before that game. In the middle of that game, I look at Slater, I'm like, are you kidding me? It was silent. So, if nothing else, what Jimmy did was bring life into a team that desperately needed a jolt, no matter how the rest of the 27 games end up here.
And I'm curious to what you have to say about this, because we just asked Anthony Slater, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, of course. And Anthony was, you know, we were talking about this matchup tonight against the Kings. It's a huge one just for the standings, obviously. They're both 28 and 27. The Kings have just had their way against the Warriors. Like, they've just looked so much younger and more athletic. Now, both these teams have made significant changes since then. Right, De'Aaron Fox, he's out in San Antonio, and it sucks that we're not going to see Fox and Wemby the rest of the year. Wemby being shut down for deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder. Hopefully it's nothing serious going forward, because he was one of the guys showing effort this past week at the All-Star game. I made the joke. He was the only one I saw actually sweating profusely because he was trying on both sides of the ball. But new look Kings, you got Zach LaVine, where LaVine DeRozan, back to the Bulls days, as Nick was alluding to.
Bulls East, Bulls West.
Right, and then you got Sabonis, who's been balling, and he's been balling against the Warriors all season long as well. But you got Jimmy Butler now in a Golden State Warriors uniform. Just looking at this new look West now, and it gives you life if you're a Warriors fan. And I think starting tonight, Bonte, if they could just establish a tone within these final 27 games against a team, and I'm calling them a rival right now, because right now they've kicked your ass. They kicked your ass in the play-in game last year. There's some bad blood between the Doug Christie and Steve Kerr going at it a couple games ago. Like, there's some juice to this, and it feels like this is the first time I feel actual juice for a regular season game in a long time. I get it. There's always some for LeBron and the Lakers, but that's the LeBron angle of all of it. You hate the Lakers. It's the cachet. But, like, no. If I'm a Warriors fan, I want to beat the Kings badly tonight. Badly.
Well, they're 0 for California this season.
Yep.
They've lost all three times to the Clippers, the Lakers, and twice to Sacramento. And Sacramento's won five straight, including that play-in game. But you look at some of those losses where the Warriors, the last time they were in Sacramento, they were up 18, I want to say. 18 points, and they blew that lead. Last season in the NBA Emirates Cup game, they blew a 24-point lead. That was the game in which Moody was rolling. He got yanked out of the game, and Klay comes back in. You know, the fan base the next day was calling, why did they take out Moody? So they've been there with Sacramento. They had the game at Chase Center where Steph Curry gets trapped at half court and can't get his shot up. So they're right there with the Kings. And this is a desperation game for both teams. Both teams. Because the Kings, they went to the All-Star break limping a bit, trying to figure out their rhythm with Zach LaVine, Malik Monk, and DeMar DeRozan, three guys who needs a ball. Sabonis needs a ball as well. Their depth has been impacted, but they pick up Valanciunas and Laravia, the young man from Memphis who I like. This is a desperation game for both teams. And yes, the Warriors, you want to get the Kings. You've lost five straight games to them. You're 0 for California. You're 1 for 10 in the Pacific Division. And if you want to talk championships and titles and making a deep run and saying, we're guaranteeing this, well, you best win tonight in Sacramento. You have to win a game like this.
Well, it's funny, too, because LaVine was a guy that a lot of Warriors fans were clamoring for, Bonta. As you know, sitting in the same chair, the amount of calls we took, go get Zach LaVine. Go get Zach LaVine. He's young. It's not going to cost you as much. Yeah, money. Yeah,
yeah, that contract.
Picks, right?
Yeah.
I know. But the fans, right? Like, they were desperate. The desperation was palpable here. Hell, we wanted just Vucevic for nothing. Just get Vuce. Maybe we could salvage him. It's just like, oh, my God.
And Quinn pulls out plays over Quinn, games, exactly. Up.
He looks like
he knew what he was doing.
Vucevic
looked like an absolute dinosaur in that game. He was so slow. So you get that aspect in all of this, too. And it feels like Jimmy Butler at this point could not have been a better fit for just everything that they needed at this point. Yes, he's older. Like, that would be like the main talking point of why you would have gotten LaVine, because he has some youth to him. Now he's had a lot of injuries and concerns there, this foot with his ankle. But the Jimmy Butler aspect in all of this, I think it's just going to be so fascinating to see all these matchups now against teams, as you said, in California, where you didn't have Jimmy. So we're going to see Jimmy against the Clippers. We're going to see him against the Lakers. And those are going to be the games you're going to have to win, because these are the games, the teams that are affecting you directly in front of the standing.
Well, it's not just Jimmy, because Jimmy's going to get his. Well, we know Jimmy's going to get his, and it's going to look different. And I don't want to disrespect Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is fine, but this was obviously, you needed to make this move because of the style of play. He gets to the free throw line, obviously. Manufactures that low block, that mid post. But I also think, you know, Jimmy's going to do his thing, and Steph's going to do his thing, and Draymond's going to be barking. The guys who I looked at going into the All-Star break, Nick, was Brandon Podziemski and Moses Moody. They've been polarizing around these parts. Brandon Podziemski, you know, everybody thinks he was untouchable.
Why didn't they put him in a trade?
Well, they did. Danny Ainge just wanted to hoard it. He wanted to pick.
Your boy Joey Lighter saying he's a future All-Star didn't help.
You know what? But, you know, it didn't help. But you know what? Brandon Podziemski went to the All-Star break feeling good about his game. He's actually playing a lot better. His percentages are up. He's shooting around 50% from the floor and nearly 40% from three in a return from his injuries. Now, I'm not saying he's a perfect player, but the turnovers are down. He's pushing the pace. And then Moses Moody scored double figures at 13 in the last 15, and he's going to the rack. So you need Jimmy. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Steph. But can those others, those ancillary pieces, step up in a way that, if we're going to talk titles, those other title teams had the Livingstons, the Iguodalas, the Barbosas, you name it, Nick, you covered those teams. If those guys produce and are consistent, then all of a sudden it makes Jimmy's job easier. It makes Steph's job easier to where they don't have to go nuclear on every given night. You're saying, wow, I'm getting 10 to 13 from Pods. Wow, I'm getting another 12 to 15 from Moody. Well, I'm getting 8 to 10 from Draymond. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy doesn't have to go crazy for 30, and Steph doesn't have to go crazy for 35.
And B, to exactly your point, it always ties back to Jimmy right now for the Warriors, because as I hear what we're talking about, Spinone and I, throughout the week, and you bring up all the different names and the impact they're going to have, the key is that Jimmy takes the pressure not just off Steph, he takes the pressure off of Pods and Moody, because now with Jimmy on the floor doing what he's able to do on top of the gravity that we're always talking about with Steph, here comes a wide open three for Moody.
Yep.
Here comes Podziemski being able to go down the lane with a little more space than he's seen in a long time. So I think all those guys will benefit from Jimmy and what he knows he can do out there on the floor. And what's fun, again, and Spadone, I'd bring it back to what Slater just told us before B came in here. The next move, and that's why I thought Draymond's best quote, and his funniest quote was the title quote, because I didn't think he was talking about this year. I thought he was talking about a year from now, potentially maybe 2 years. That's a little bit of a stretch. But I think their best bet for a title is a year from right now, because, and this goes back to what Slater just told us, they have the assets to get one more piece. Yep. There's going to be so much focus on KD. I mean, guys, all summer long, it's going to be, is Kevin going to do it? Right. Is Kevin going to, are they going to make the move? I can feel it, because it was already happening right before the deadline.
He's definitely not going to be a Phoenix Sun. Like, I will put money on that.
They look lifeless last night. That team, they're cooked.
And V, you and I have been around Kevin a long time. Yeah. He knows basketball. If anything else, he knows the league. He follows what's going on. He knows that that team has got to be teetering right around the end.
They're going to be a 10 seed, maybe. Yeah. If they get there.
If
they get there. So, no, Kevin Durant is definitely out there. The one guy I'm looking at, Nick, and Milwaukee's a very, and I don't want to bring this up. I don't want to bring this up, and I don't think it's going to happen. But
Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis
got some time on his hands.
He's got some time on his hands to get in shape. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, the league is watching. They're watching Milwaukee and to see if they flame out early in these playoffs. Now, they're a 5 seed right now, if I'm not mistaken. Not sure who they – I think they may match up with the Knicks in the first round.
Yes. It'd be Pacers-Bucks right now.
Oh, Pacers-Bucks. They'll be able to – Pacers beat them last year, but Giannis was hurt. I like the Bucks in that one. Bucks should outlast them.
Be Pistons-Knicks in the first round, actually, in the Eastern. I actually kind of like that. Go ahead.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad. But, all right, well, people are going to be watching Milwaukee to see what happens. And I know, you know – there were some conversations, and Giannis was doing a hangout here in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. The tea leaves are all about being red.
You heard about
on
the
that
tea
topic.
Leaves.
Oh, yeah.
But you heard about the tea leaves with Giannis? Yeah, so just saying, watch Giannis in the Milwaukee Bucks to see how it ends, because there could be a lot of smoke around that. As Nick just said, the assets of having a JK, having a Jimmy Butler, having a Draymond, having a lot of these young players
and
these
picks.
And you got your picks. The Warriors will be active once again. This is what Joe Lacob does. He's swinging for the big dogs now. The change, like the mentality that the Warriors have right now is a mentality that the Lakers have carried for so many years. We are star hunting. We want the best product. We want to be entertaining. We want to sell out this building. We are one of the top dogs in the NBA. And that's how the Warriors operate right now.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am just so out, and I think Kevin Durant is on the idea of coming back to Golden State, that I think it's actually more likely that Giannis becomes a Warrior than Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
I believe that. He's not coming back here.
I still think it could happen.
It could happen?
I really do.
You think you could talk him into it?
I really do think that there is a chance that he reappears because he knows basketball-wise what it means.
I want you to sell me on that and bond.